Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. The Benefits of Confusion, today on Advanced. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Peter, and you are joining us today, June 19th, 2026, for our communications article for the month of June. It is called Misunderstood Can Be Good: What Travelers Lose When Translation Is Done by Tech. Misunderstood can be good. So, we're glad you're with us here. We're going to read through this article. It's 2 days long, today and tomorrow, so we'll be with you for 2 days here. And by we, of course, I mean myself and my co-panelist, Rhonda. Hello, Rhonda.
Hello, Peter. It's great to be here. Hello, listeners. This will be a fun conversation.
Yes. I'm looking forward to this because, as you can see in the deck there, traveling is one of the themes of the article, one of the factors of the article. And so I know I have done actually very little traveling in my life. From New York City originally, coming to Taipei was the biggest bit of traveling that I've done so far in my life up to this point. But Rhonda has done a lot of traveling. And so I am glad that we have sort of both ends of the spectrum here today to discuss this article about one of the aspects of traveling and how it may be changing due to technological advances. So, Rhonda, speaking of traveling and speaking of language, because language is often an issue when one is traveling. Has there ever been a time in your many travels when language was an issue, when it made the difference in a situation?
Oh, so many times and every time. Sure, I have lots of anecdotes I could share. I've lived in a lot of places and traveled in a lot of places. A funny story, and often the situations are humorous, or if you don't laugh at yourself, you're just embarrassed. Mm. So I can remember being in Eritrea, East Africa, where we lived for 3 years as a family, and answering the telephone could sometimes be comical. When you answer the telephone, the way to say hello was to say, "Hello, who is this?" Mm. Menu, who is this? Menu. And I answered the telephone and said, Menye, and that means, who am I? So imagine if you called me, Peter, and I picked up the phone and said, who am I?
That is great.
That's good,
what a
it?
Wonderful
imagine
kind
people
of
calling someone and saying, hearing this woman's American woman saying, who am I? And I thought, well, so I laughed about it and laughed with the person who heard me say it. And I said, well, that's kind of an appropriate way for a newcomer to a place to answer the phone. I don't know who I am. Can somebody tell me? That sometimes can be how you feel in a second language. Who am I?
When
I can't communicate, who am I? We're so glad that you have tuned in today, listeners, because we know that learning a language is such a challenge, but we hope that you can laugh at us when we make mistakes, because we do, and hope you can laugh at yourselves and just enjoy the adventure of making mistakes.
Yes, I'm sure we'll give you plenty of opportunities to laugh at us, certainly. But Rhonda, I appreciate that story, because that is just a wonderful sort of, what we say in English, absurd moment, where you are making a phone call to someone. And of course, Rhonda and I are thinking of phone communication back in the days before caller ID was universal.
That's right.
you literally did not know.
So who
you could
calling.
Maybe guess, but you literally did not know who might be calling you. And so you would always say, usually you would say, hello, who is this? But to be the caller in this case and to have the person you're calling say, hello, who am I? It's like you've stepped into an alternate universe or something.
Yes, that's what it
felt
like.
We are going to stay in our universe today and read through this article for you and talk about some of the English, help you grow in your confidence in listening to English and reading English. So without further ado, let's jump right into it. We'll do two readings today for the two sections of today's article. And we will start the first one now.
misunderstood can be good. What travelers lose when translation is done by tech. Years ago, after graduating from culinary school, I lived for a while with relatives in Switzerland, often cooking them dinner and asking my aunt, who spoke limited English, how it tasted. Every night, she would say, "It's fine." I spoke none of the multiple languages she was fluent in, but one time, I could have sworn she described a meal to my uncle as gross. I became a journalist instead. Years later, I learned one translation for gross in Swiss German is great, and fine means something closer to elegant, delicate, even delicious. If I'd had a tool to accelerate my understanding, I might have made different life choices. I thought of that night when I read about the latest Apple AirPods, which can translate foreign languages in real time. A person speaks to you in English, French, German, Portuguese, or Spanish with more languages on the way, and Siri repeats it in your native tongue. It's an incredible inflection point for futuristic personal tech, with the potential to open up the world in ways humans have dreamed about for millennia.
Okay, so we meet our author here in the first paragraph, and she gives us this information that what she's about to tell us about occurred years ago after she graduated from culinary school. You may also sometimes hear culinary school. Culinary means the same thing. What does it mean, Rhonda?
Cooking school.
Cooking school, mm-hmm. Right. Culinary, having to do with cooking. She lived for a while with relatives in Switzerland, often cooking them dinner, and as a graduate of culinary school would do. And what did her family, her relatives in Switzerland, Rhonda, how did they describe her cooking?
Well, her aunt would say every night, "It's fine." Now, the aunt spoke many languages, so whether she was using partly English and then fine was another language. But the writer says that she spoke none of the many multiple languages that the aunt was fluent in. So, but she thought that she heard her aunt describe a meal as gross. So the aunt said gross.
Right.
And she also said fine. So our author assumed that was English.
Right, right. And gross, of course, in English means bad, very bad, disgusting even.
Yes.
Gross. Yeah, just think of something really ugly or unpleasant. That's gross. Fine, you know, fine. It's like average, maybe slightly
right.
above average, usually as a descriptor. If something is fine, it's not great, but it's not bad. It's fine. So here's a graduate of cooking school being told that the meals she's cooking are fine at best, and apparently at least once, gross. And so what happened, Rhonda?
She made a career change. It's funny the way this is written. We've got one sentence that is very understated. So she went to culinary school, thought she was getting not good feedback. So she had a complete career switch. She says in one sentence, "I became a journalist instead."
Yes. Now, readers may be able to tell that she's not saying that just because she didn't get rave reviews about her cooking from her Swiss relatives, she switched to journalism. But the way she mentions it after the story about cooking for her Swiss relatives gives that impression that, you know, that played a part in her decision to switch careers. And that certainly is a switch of careers to go from being a chef to being a reporter of some kind. But what is interesting then is the next paragraph. Years later, she learned that one translation for gross in Swiss German specifically, is great. Great, which is obviously almost the complete opposite of what it means in English. Something that is gross in English is by no means great. But in Swiss German, something that is gross could be great. And fine also means something in Swiss German, Rhonda. What is that?
Closer to elegant, delicate, or even delicious. Now, it's interesting with both of these Swiss German words, the English cognate, the same family, the word gross in English can mean very great, very large in terms of size.
In terms of size, right.
So it's interesting. In this short story here, we have an experience of language, roots, and families. The two words did sound alike because they actually come from the same family tree, you could say.
Sure.
And fine, if fine to describe a meal, it's fine, does mean average, but it literally does mean in its original, in English, delicate.
Mm.
Like you say, oh, that's a very fine, finely knit sweater you're wearing. Oh,
right.
The paintbrush can make such fine lines. So here we see English and Swiss German words. They sound alike, but they've changed in the two languages, don't have the same meaning attached to the words that have the same root.
Right, right. And in fact, they have meanings that can mean significantly different things from their origin or from some of their cognates. And so she goes on to say, if I'd had a tool to accelerate my understanding, to accelerate, to drive, to heighten her understanding, I might have made different life choices. She might have continued with the cooking instead of switching to journalism. Although if she'd switched to journalism, then it's possible she might never have written this article. So
that's right.
You want to try to see all sides of the picture. But our author continues that she thought of that night, of cooking for her Swiss relatives. Obviously, it was more than one night, but she's thinking of the night in particular where the uncle described the meal as gross. She thought of that night when she read about the latest Apple AirPods, which can translate foreign languages in real time. Rhonda, tell us more about this new technological innovation.
Well, I've never owned a pair of these Apple AirPods. It sounds like you put them right in your ear as a person speaks to you in English, French, German, Portuguese, or Spanish, with many languages still on the way as of the writing of this article.
Mm-hmm.
And Siri repeats it in your native tongue. I'm assuming AirPods means goes in your ears. Am I correct about
that? Exactly, yes. And as it happens, I recently had the opportunity to use AirPods.
Really?
Yeah. I was having dinner with some relatives on my wife's side, and one of them happened to have this very thing, the Apple AirPod, and he gave it to me because I was the only non-Mandarin speaker in this big family dinner that we were having, which was very kind of him. And so I got to try this firsthand, and it was interesting. It was not so bad, but it was not really the next great step forward, I think. And there's a vocab word here, meaning sort of the next great step forward, right there in the next sentence. It's an incredible, the author says, inflection point. An incredible inflection point, meaning a time when there's an important change in business or in industry for futuristic personal tech with the potential to open up the world in ways humans have dreamed about for millennia. And certainly it may do that. I don't think it's there yet. Because what happens is you put them in, and if one person is talking to you, then yeah, it will translate for you within half second of them saying it, you know.
You were hearing English in your ear.
I was hearing English of Mandarin, yes. But when you're at a dinner and there are multiple people around the table having multiple conversations at the same time, the poor machine just doesn't know which one to listen to. And so you get bits of this conversation and bits of that conversation translated as it's being said. But it's very difficult to put it together because obviously these are like three different conversations. And so the challenge of the technology at this point, at least, is to see how it can be taught to focus just on one conversation or on one speaker and screen out the others. Because right now it just takes any language that it hears in the environment and tries to translate it all at once.
Well, of course, what I'm thinking is that sounds like a typical dinner party anyway, right?
Right, exactly.
If you were at the table with all English speakers, you'd have that same issue. I can't understand what everybody's saying. Because everybody's talking at once. We often complain, everybody's talking at once. So, Peter, do you think your experience was comparable to if you didn't have AirPods in because everyone was speaking English? Would it have been the same experience?
As humans, we learn how to have one-on-one conversations in a group setting, we learn how to screen out the other voices, even though we do still hear them. We just don't pay attention to them. It's a matter of where we put our mental focus. We focus on the person sitting next to us or whoever it is that we're in conversation with and just kind of screen out all the other voices and conversations. And at this point, at least, the technology I used did not have that ability. Mm-hmm. So it was, the speed was amazing. The speed was very impressive, but it just needs to now, I think, learn how to focus on one particular speaker. And when it was, when everyone said, hey, shush, 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 everyone stop talking for a minute, let's try the technology, and just one person spoke to me, then yes, it did translate it. Even then, though, and, you know, we need to get back to our article, but it was fascinating because even then, it was an overly literal translation. It had no sense of figures of speech or references. And it's not like I'm always talking to English majors, but we use speech figuratively as well as literally, and it didn't quite have a sense of figurative uses. So I think it's just because the technology is still in an early stage, and certainly the speed is impressive. Now it just needs to be refined, as we say, made more fine, more elegant, more discerning, more detailed. And I'm sure that is what's coming in the years ahead. But what's coming right now is that we are going to go into the second section of our article and continue reading about the possible effects of this technological advancement. Let's go into our second reading now.
Missing a good story. Yet I feel sad for how much we may lose, especially when traveling abroad. Technology has already all but eliminated the chance of getting lost on our way to dinner, limiting opportunities to stumble upon things we didn't even know we were looking for. What happens when we stop misunderstanding, misreading, and mistranslating? How much serendipity and comedy will simply cease? Some of the best dishes I've eaten abroad showed up after I accidentally nodded yes when I meant no to a waiter listing specials faster than an auctioneer. It's happened less and less since Google made it possible to translate a photo of a menu in real time. But my anecdotes have suffered. It would have made for a much better story if in Vietnam, I'd actually ordered the goat testicles, thinking I was asking for chops.
So we were talking about this technological advance and how maybe it's not quite as powerful and effective as it may someday be, but simply the possibility that it presents of what may be possible within a few years' time. For this author, she feels sad, she tells us here in our second section. She feels sad. Why does she feel sad, Rhonda?
Because we are losing, or we may lose things. Sad for how much we may lose, especially when traveling abroad. Now, she doesn't say things, but by what we may lose, she means experiences. In this paragraph, we don't get to experience some of the fun or funny surprises in life that happen when there is miscommunication or we are misunderstood. She says technology has already almost eliminated the chance of getting, what does it say, Peter?
Getting lost on our way to dinner. And that English expression, small expression there, all but, technology has already all but eliminated, means it's done everything but actually eliminate the chance of getting lost. There is still the chance that we could get lost on our way to dinner, even with GPS, but the odds of it are much, much lower than they've ever been. It is all but eliminated. So that's one effect, and that limits opportunities to stumble upon things we didn't even know we were looking for, to make unexpected discoveries. We were trying to get to this restaurant, and instead we wound up at this restaurant, but we had a very good meal at this other restaurant, even though it wasn't where we were trying to get to. And that as technology becomes more powerful, more advanced, things like that will happen less and less. And there will be, this is the author's point, there will be less chance to make discoveries like this, because we will always get exactly where we intended to go.
A nice verb there, to stumble upon. Now, we don't usually want to stumble, which means to trip and almost fall down. You might stumble on a step.
Right.
But in here, to say I stumbled upon it is to say a very nice, unexpected thing happened. So to stumble upon something that you don't know you were even looking for is part of the fun of moving through this world. And there's three nice verbs there that start with miss. What happens when we stop misunderstanding, misreading, and mistranslating? Those would normally be negative things. But she's saying, they can make fun things happen. She says, how much serendipity and comedy will simply cease. I love that word serendipity, Peter. I hardly ever have used it, but it's a fun one.
Yeah, serendipity is a good word to describe what we were talking about earlier, where you were trying to get to one restaurant and you got lost and you ended up at this other restaurant, but you ended up having a better meal. That is serendipity, something interesting or valuable that happens by accident. And so the author wonders how much serendipity or serendipitous discoveries will no longer take place simply because we have such precise technology to get us where we wanted to go or to say what we meant to say. She goes on to say, some of the best dishes I've eaten abroad, and this is a cook speaking, remember, a trained cook, some of the best dishes she's eaten abroad showed up after I accidentally nodded yes when I meant no to a waiter listing specials faster than an auctioneer. Now, we've all been to a restaurant with a type of restaurant anyway, where the waiter comes over, tells you the specials that evening, what the chef recommends, and this waiter apparently was going faster than an auctioneer. Auctioneer are those guys, mainly in America, I think, where there's an auction, something is being auctioned off to the public. Whoever wants to bid the most money for it is the person who can take it home, and the auctioneer will try to get people to bid on it. And typically, auctioneers are thought of as going, hey, 45, 45, 45, make it six, 65 right there, 65, give me six. And just talk this stream of, you know, very simple words, really just trying to push the price up and announcing the current price and the price he's trying to get to. But to add to the energy of it, to get people to bid up the price higher and higher. And so it's a good way to, it's a good comparison to understand a waiter listing specials very fast. And so she nodded yes to something that she meant not to get.
And this, she started that sentence, some of the best dishes I've eaten happened by accidentally responding to the waiter talking so fast.
Right. And as she says then in the next sentence, it's happened less and less since Google made it possible to translate a photo of a menu in real time. I've done that myself. I use Google Translate here in our island almost on a daily basis, and often for simple things like menus too. She says her anecdotes have suffered. Rhonda, what's an anecdote?
An anecdote is a fun little short story, a short account of something that happened that is entertaining. So she's being a little bit humorous here. My stories are not as funny, is what she means. My anecdotes have suffered. In other words, my being funny has suffered. It's not as funny when I tell a story because I don't have as many funny stories to tell. Just
right,
like my story
exactly.
About answering the phone, I wouldn't have been on radio here in this room with you telling that story if I had spoken perfect.
Right. You'd have had to just tell us one of the boring details of your life.
I just got to tell you one of the comical, my identity crisis when I said, who am I?
Yeah.
On the phone instead of hello.
Yeah, simply because of you didn't have Google Translate.
I didn't have an AirPod.
You didn't
Apple
have an AirPod. Right.
With
yeah.
a Siri speaking for
so
me.
She ends by saying this special, this dish that she ordered, which was one of the best that she's eaten abroad. It would have made for a much better story if in Vietnam she'd actually ordered the goat testicles, thinking that she was asking for chops. So this is apparently, just to be clear, this is another time, not the one she was talking about at first. This is another time when she was in Vietnam and she was about to order chops, but she used the word, I believe, for goat testicles. Testicles, a male sex organ that produces sperm in humans and in other animals. And, you know, what's so funny about that? But with those sorts of things, those funny parts of the body, you know, we just are sort of universally funny in a certain way, especially when they're different from what you were expecting to get. In this case, she was expecting to get chops, you know, a cut of meat that is perpendicular to the spine of the animal, like lamb chops or barbecued ribs. But anyway, hopefully all this talk about food has whetted your appetite to join us again tomorrow for day two of our article. This is as far as we can go with you today, but we do invite you to come back tomorrow. I'm Rhonda.
I'm Pete. No, you're not Rhonda.
Rhonda. Communication in all its varieties.
That was comical. I'm glad that mistake happened.
There you go.
Hopefully we've entertained our listeners as we promised.
Didn't even need technology for it. Join us again tomorrow, folks. We'll see you then.